Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello and happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. And don't forget, anytime you miss a part of the show or you want to tell somebody else, hey, did you hear what I heard? Just steer them toward our website. We've got it there for you. You can either download it or stream it right online as a podcast. Just look for it all about halfway down the page in most cases. And you can sit there and hear everything you want. Or if you miss something, you can hear a repeat of it. So let's get rolling on today's show. Carrie Wilhelm with the Vigo County Historical Society is with us today. Carrie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Frank.
And for folks who don't realize, what's your official title now? You're a director or something, but I don't remember the exact title, so that's why I'll let you do it.
So I'm the executive director of the Vigo County Historical Society History Center.
Okay, and the History Center, which means you've got the new museum under your wing, right?
That's correct.
Pretty neat place. It really is.
It's an amazing place, actually.
Do you feel a little kind of like, oh, wow, look at what I've got now? maybe a little apprehensive, you know, when you come in and say, wow, look at this place.
I am. It's an extraordinary facility, 34,000 square feet, and it's just full of amazing exhibits. And given how much work it takes, we're very fortunate to have some dedicated people here. And Mary Lee Hagan and Susan Tingley, who came before me, were amazing directors, and they've given us such a phenomenal start that, yes, I definitely feel the pressure to not mess that up.
And sometimes that can be a lot. Now, Carrie, tell me, you've actually been in your job for what, about a year or so, or maybe a little less? How long?
A little less than a year.
Yeah, Susan retired, I guess, right?
Yeah, she retired in December.
And so what do you think? You've not been there a year yet, but do you like the job?
It's amazing. The wonderful people that I meet here and our visitors who come in to see the exhibits, the staff we work with, I love my job. They're incredible people here in Terre Haute and Vigo County, so I feel very fortunate.
And you took the reins right as the new museum basically got whacked upside the head with the pandemic. And you got this great new museum, all this space, all these exhibits, and then it was closed. you couldn't ask for more of a nightmare, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal for especially a lot of nonprofits, but our museum in particular, we were definitely hard hit. They had to shut down for 3 months and reopen, and we've just been going gangbusters trying to get people to remember that we're here and we have an amazing place for people to be entertained and come learn something about their history.
How did that really affect you guys? I mean, the obvious thing is that with no people coming through the door, I mean, the financial hit had to be pretty tremendous.
We saw a decline of about at least 75% in income and admissions and visitation specifically.
And for a not-for-profit organization, that can almost be fatal, depending upon just, you know, how you were situated before this.
Absolutely. That, for a lot of organizations, that can sound the death knell.
Yeah. And so, I mean, how has it really hurt you guys? I mean, obviously, you've done pretty good. You've got this new museum and everything, so lots of folks are aware of you. But, I mean, has it really put the hard squeeze on you guys?
Oh, we have definitely been struggling coming out of the pandemic and just hoping that the vaccines would encourage everybody to feel safe enough to come out and engage in their community again. But it's been a long breath to hold.
And, of course, that also put the stop to a lot of school field trips. I mean, you guys host field trips. It's almost on a nonstop basis during a normal school year. But with the pandemic, that all came to a screeching halt, too.
All of our traffic, unfortunately, came to a screeching halt. We are only just now, just in the last few weeks, starting to see our numbers recover in a way that gives us a little bit of hope.
Now, you guys have a campaign going on right now quite honestly, and there's nothing wrong with saying this, it's pretty self-serving. You're trying to get folks to give a little money and to come through the doors and make contributions to make the squeeze and the pain a little bit less hard on you guys.
So it is self-serving, but the work we do here is for the benefit of the community. It's their history and their museum, and we just act as stewards and intermediaries to help them come and realize what a gift they have here in this museum.
So what are you trying to do with this campaign? I mean, how much are you trying to raise, and how do folks take part, and how's it all working?
We were fortunate enough to be awarded a 2-to-1 matching grant by the Wabash Valley Community Foundation, a great group of folks out there. And they awarded us this grant, and we're trying to raise $20,000, so they'll match it with 10. So we are setting some fundraising goals in-house with mini fundraiser events like drive-in theater movie night and limited edition t-shirts. And we are also going to be hosting a canvas and cookies night in August. So we've got some great events lined up to help us fundraise.
And of course, if folks want to know what you've got going on, there's various ways to do that. But I mean, you've got your own website, but you also have a Facebook page too and all that, right?
Yeah, we're good with social media. So people are always welcome and encouraged to check us out on our website or Facebook page.
Carrie Wilhelms with the Vigo County Historical Museum is with us today. She's the new director over there. So talk to us a little bit. During the pandemic, you still had people in the museum. I mean, as far as, you know, as members and the folks who operate it, there's still some folks in there. What have you done during this time? I mean, I know you've done more than just try to knock the cobwebs down. You guys have actually been working in there just like always.
Absolutely. We've been refreshing the exhibits, adding new exhibits, thinking about ways that we can better engage with our public so that we can make our exhibits more interactive. We want to make sure we get younger folks and children interested in their history by bringing in some technology that they'll enjoy working with. So we've been busy updating as we go.
So tell us a little bit about what you've done as far as changing exhibits. I mean, I know there was a lot of good exhibit. There was one good exhibit in there that had a picture of me, which I thought was probably the most outstanding exhibit that you had. But but on top of that, I mean, you had like a couple of cars, I know, in there, mainly on the first floor. There's at least one, maybe two, if I remember right. There was lots of cool exhibits in there. So what has come out and what has gone in?
So the most significant object that we've had go in is our 1902 Overland, which has gone into the Griner Wills Gallery. That is the car that predates actually having steering wheels. It looks like it was driven more by rudder. And it was built here in the Overland factory here in Terre Haute. So that's a really unique piece of history that we were fortunate to have Gary Griner ensure came to the museum through a donation from David Kleps.
Oh, okay. And of course, yeah, he's well known to everybody that's been around Terre Haute for a while as having probably one of the most outstanding car collections that's ever existed in Terre Haute.
Correct. That's absolutely true. So that's huge for the museum because it's a really neat piece of history. You're looking at wooden spokes on the old rubber tires, and you can see the little lanterns that were basically the historic equivalent of headlights. So we hope people will enjoy and appreciate what that represents here in the museum.
What else have you kind of changed out around there as far as new stuff?
So we've started a new exhibit. Our exhibit planner, Susie Quick, has created a new exhibit for African American heritage here in Vigo County. It started off with, we did a temporary exhibit during the month of February, which is, of course, Black History Month. And then she took that theme and ran with it and has decided to make it a permanent exhibit here at the museum so that we can better represent the diversity here in the county.
There's a lot of history that I think a lot of people probably don't know that much about, African Americans especially, when it comes to agriculture here in our area. Used to have some farm homesteads and that kind of stuff in the county and in the outlying areas. I think a lot of people, unless you study that, you probably just didn't know about it.
That's correct. There are homesteads here that go back into the early and mid 1800s and have remained in the same African American families. So we have been very fortunate to be able to tell that story.
What people actually see in the museum, I understand, is just a very small fraction of what the historical society and the museum itself actually own. There's so much stuff that is tucked away and waiting to come out and see the light of day again. How do you pick?
We do a lot of research here. And as you can tell by the quality of the exhibits we have currently, Mary Lee Hagan and Susan Tingley did a lot of research for the exhibits, that many of which are still out. It takes a lot of work to do the historical documentation research to make sure that we're putting out history that's appropriate and specific to Vigo County and accurate. so that the history we're telling is the actual history.
Is there a little bit of a formula or a method to the madness as far as the balance of what kind of exhibits and from what eras? Do you try to work on that too?
We try to walk a balance between just the straight up history aspect and then staying relevant by keeping abreast of what contemporary trends and cultural interests, like showing African American history during Black History Month or having an art exhibit when the Art Guild came through and wanted to host their annual party.
There is an awful lot of stuff, like I said, that you guys have in storage right now. And what I think is kind of neat about it is that, look, let's face it, everybody knows the basic main stories. We're all familiar with Stiffy Green. We're all familiar with the Indy 500 having a port of Terre Haute with the Holman family. We're all familiar with the Coke bottle. But there's so many other stories out there beyond those top three or four, right?
Absolutely. And we try to touch on a certain depth of those historical stories by posting them on Facebook a lot, because we don't necessarily have the physical collections to represent every aspect of history, because there's been a lot here in Vigo County. So we try to make sure that we push on social media the research we can do on the different stories, like the recent one Susie Quick put out about the war bride.
Mm-hmm. One of the good things and the bad things is that a lot of people who come across some of these old collectible pieces think, well, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, great grandma and grandpa, they're gone. I don't know what to do with it, so I'll give it to the historical society. That's good and that's bad. You guys wind up with some really interesting and very cherished pieces, but you also wind up with a lot of stuff that, albeit maybe very good, you can't take everything. So that's got to be a little bit of a curse as well as a blessing.
It is, and we had to put policy in place to make sure that people weren't treating us like, you know, grandma's attic where all old things go to be stored. there's costs associated with curating objects. It costs money. It costs a lot of money the more collection you have, and we have substantial collections because you have to take care of it. You have to ensure the right environment. You have to ensure pest control management. You have to ensure that there's acid-free paper with certain types of materials. So there are costs associated every time somebody wants to bring things to the collection.
Another one of the things I know you guys have done with some items, the ones that are deemed valuable enough, you've actually incurred a cost as far as restoration. And that it's not something you can afford to do all the time, and not everything necessarily deserves to be restored. But I know that's something that you guys do from time to time.
Yes, it is. And we have to be very judicious about what collections we take in. We don't want to take anything that we know we can't afford to take care of. So even though people, for example, like to bring us what they'll consider historic newspapers that are in terrible shape, that is not going to be a long-term project for us that we can fund, because it's naturally going to deteriorate, and we would spend great amount of money just trying to keep it stable long enough to digitize it.
And there's a lot of that that's already been digitized out there, and so I imagine you folks are really looking for things that are completely irreplaceable.
That's correct. We do. We want those pieces from Vigo County's history that they're one of a kind. They tell a story in and of themselves, and that we know that we can house and conserve and take care of going forward in perpetuity.
You mentioned something there that I thought I'd kind of touch on a little bit. Vigo County, while that is the focus and that is the name, there is a lot of history out there, and some of the artifacts that you guys have were before there were counties. You know, and before there were county lines and that kind of thing. So really, you kind of also tend to be a Wabash Valley Historical Society, as well as just Vigo County.
That's very accurate, Frank. Our collection is very representative of the Wabash Valley area. So we do tell a larger story. We're going to, in the near future, hopefully tie in with the riverways, the riverscapes, having the Smithsonian exhibit come out in Terre Haute. So we tell a larger story as well.
Kerry Wilhelm's the director of the Vigo County Historical Museum here in town. So, okay, now let's go over this again. You guys have a fundraiser going on right now because you've been hit like everybody else due to the repercussions of pandemic and people not being able to get out. So tell us, what are you open now and fully open, or what's your current status?
We are fully open. We're open from Tuesday through Saturday. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we also host events. So people can rent our event space, our auditorium. We love to see field trips and school children in here. We love to see other nonprofit organizations partner with us so that we can get different audiences through the museum.
Now, I remember a couple of the other things. First of all, you're still showing movies, right?
We haven't yet.
Oh, okay.
But we're working on it.
Okay, because I know there was a theater in there. I know they were showing some films when I went in there last year sometime. And also, too, there was at least one portion where you're inviting folks to record their history. Is that still part of it as well? Is that still going on?
Absolutely. We're very interested, especially in everybody's pandemic experience, because it's hard for people to remember, but this is historic in and of itself, and we want to capture those memories before they get too far behind us.
And that's something that's really kind of important, because that's life for us now. But 50 years, 100 years down the road, as we look at 100-year-old exhibits now, folks 100 years from now will look back on this and go, wow, I wonder what it was like. So this is our chance to tell history to the future.
Absolutely. It's very critical that we record it while we can, and we're the history museum to carry out things like that. So we hope people will continue to come in.
If you raise enough money, you have this matching grant from the foundation, right?
We do, and we encourage people to give now. This is a great opportunity for the museum to capitalize on the generous award from the Wabash Valley Community Foundation.
You cannot spend, if you got there at 10 o'clock and then you close at 5, you would not really be able to see and really fully appreciate everything in there. It's going to take you a couple of trips. So you can either pay to get in, or maybe just buy a membership and then you can come in as much as you want. And memberships are a good way to help you guys out and still get to see it on a regular basis.
Absolutely. That's probably the best way to do it, so you can come as often as you like and take your time going through the museum to actually get into all the details, because there's a lot of history here.
And you can buy the membership what? Online? Obviously at the museum, right?
Yeah, both options are great and available to everybody.
And I know, are you guys kind of helping folks if they want to do a little bit of genealogy study? That's kind of part of your thing too, isn't it?
Right now we're still sending people to the Genealogical Society.
Okay.
We're a little short-staffed at the moment, so research requests are taking us a little bit of time, but we've got a great group of genealogists who actually volunteer here at the museum and help with those requests.
All right. Well, the new Vigo County, I say new because to me, it's still new. It's new and old all at the same time.
Exactly.
It's a new museum. Both. It's a new museum of a bunch of old stuff, which is very cool to see. The Vigo County Historical Society and the museum downtown on Wabash. What about 10th and Wabash, I think? Isn't that the cross street there? Am I right? Okay. All right. Carrie Wilhelm is the director down there. We appreciate you spending some time with us today. The Vigo County Historical Society and the museum, they're very cool. If you've not been there yet, drop by, check it out. And if you haven't been in since before the pandemic, go back again. They've been working over the pandemic, and you might see some things in there you've not seen before. That's it for this week. You need a repeat, head to our website. We've got it there for you as a podcast, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.